on this episode of the Girl Talk Podcast.
We're not all made exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just different. There is no standard. There is no body standard that we have to live up to. We have to live up to the way God made us.
There, you are listening to the Girl Talk Podcast. My name is Carol.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Trisha.
And we're so glad you are here today. Now, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, put a disclaimer, which I often do here at the beginning, but we're going to be talking about body image today. And I know that can be a tough subject for some folks, mm-hmm. but we're going to go deep and we're going to give you some hope mm-hmm. and we're going to hopefully leave you with some tools in your belt that you can utilize today to kind of improve how you feel about your body. Because in this day and time, body images based on the people that we see most often in the headlines, right?
Yeah.
And they
cultural.
They are often a certain size and photoshopped mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and all the things. So I thought,
airbrushed.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good place for us to start today to talk about experiences that we've had that have made us feel insecure about our bodies. So why are you?
I'm laughing because I saw that question you were going to ask. Yes. You know, share an experience that you had where you felt insecure about your body. And I was like, yes, life.
Okay.
I mean, like this morning when I got out of the bed, morning when I looked at myself in the mirror, yesterday, last week, the week before, when I went to try on clothes,
right.
last time I put on a bathing suit.
Right. yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So
I could talk for days.
But are there specific instances in which you kind of formed a negative body image because of those? Those are the kind of experiences mm-hmm. I'm talking about. Because every day, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you've struggled with body image at some point.
Mm-hmm. If you're human.
If
yes.
you, mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you say you haven't, then you're probably telling a little story right now. Yeah. But there have been like a handful of very modeling experiences for me as related to body image. So since I asked the question, very unfair. You going
to
go first?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, go first.
So I can remember one time when I was in high school.
Okay.
I mean, high school is so formative anyway, but I can remember in high school, this guy I thought was super cute, mm-hmm. James. I don't even remember what his last name was at this point. Doesn't really matter.
What's his bucket?
yeah. We were standing in the hallway. And he was so cute, y'all. Just
dreamy.
Super cute, dreamy. And he told me I had a double chin. He was like, I love your double chin. I mean, it was like this. And of course, that's not the way he meant it. It was really a slam. It was really ugly. And it really hurt. I mean, I remember it some 20 odd years later. And I can remember exactly where I was standing, what locker I was standing in front of when he told me, when he said that to me. And now I can't ever look at a picture of myself without thinking about James and my double chin. It scarred me forever. So, yeah, I mean, that's
formative.
Story number one, I could go for 14 years, like I said, but
okay.
Formative. It was a formative moment in my life where now I know I have a double chin and I think that it doesn't look beautiful because James said it.
When
we were stupid and in high school.
That's hard.
It doesn't matter, but it does. It hurt deeply.
Beautiful, Kelly.
Yeah.
So are you.
Both. Do you have one?
Yes, I remember very clearly. A lot of these, I think, do take place when you're younger, and it does set the stage for your whole life. Mm. And I remember in middle school, every end of the summer, we would go buy new jeans for the school year.
Yeah.
And I remember as the time that my mom was going to take me to go buy new jeans got closer, I felt worse and worse. Mm. And I remember going into the changing room and trying on these new jeans every year, hoping that I would look good in them, hoping that this year would be the year that I'd find a pair that would actually make me look good and I would feel confident in school. And I remember year after year, and I can sense the wooden changing room and the mirror and putting them on, and maybe they were too tight, the ones I wanted, and then I had to get a bigger size. And I just remember hating myself and how I looked in that changing room mirror, and how that just set the stage for how I felt about my appearance the entire year. And it was just so, so painful. And then when I got in high school, towards the end of my high school career, I started to lose some weight, but I still maintained what I thought I looked like. It didn't matter what I weighed, because I was always going to be that girl in the changing room, hating the way she looked in these jeans.
And that is such a common experience for so many people, that those changing rooms and those experiences are, they're hard.
They're hard.
They're really hard.
So I have, you know, often we find on this podcast, we have totally different experiences. I never really even thought about how I looked when I was in junior high.
Good.
Never.
Good.
Like, it didn't even occur to me. I was clueless, you know, but my experience happened as an adult. Which I went on this fabulous trip, and we were all out together, and we were taking pictures of a certain experience that we were having on this trip, and there was a picture taken of me that was less than flattering, and the person that took the picture showed it to me, and I was so embarrassed, and I said, please don't show that to anybody, and they agreed to that, and then we all went and got showered and changed, and we were going to go back to dinner. And when I went in for dinner that night, everybody started laughing when I came in the room. And I knew at that moment that the picture had been shared. And
that's a betrayal.
That day I started completely seeing myself so much different. On so many levels, it was so hard, but I had never really thought of my appearance. And I think sometimes, I mean, we take so many photos now, and they tell you how to stand and how to hold your chin, and everybody wants to look different than they do. But we take so many pictures now that I think we kind of get immune to it at times. Whereas back then, pictures were forever. You know, I mean, you got put in a photo album, and you still have those on your parents', you know, shelves in their homes, you know, and you pull those out and look at them. And so I think the way that we use photographs has changed, but that day became a formative experience for me and how I saw myself that I had never even, like, considered before.
Well, I want to ask about that, because how did you escape that being younger? What were you thinking?
I don't know. I think you know, I was so, I just wasn't about, I didn't even wear makeup till college.
You played sports, right?
I did.
Is that right?
I played sports all through school, and my hair was very short, and like, I just didn't, it just wasn't on my radar.
I love that, because you were focused on something fun and interesting and keeping you going and giving you affirmation instead of tearing you down. I love that. Well, we can learn from that.
Yeah. Well, and I was so focused on being funny. I knew that funny was my superpower. So anything that made me uncomfortable, I just was funny. And I funnied my way through, you know, junior high and high school. And but I almost wish that I had been aware of it back then. But here's the thing. Here's where I want us to kind of turn the conversation. So I realized in getting ready for this episode that I have had two responses to weight-related conversations in my life. One response has been to wallow. The other response has been to work on it. So I think that awareness is not a bad thing. Like, it's not bad to have pictures made. It's not bad to, you know, enjoy times with your kids. But when you are aware of something, then you can work on it. That's what I've had to train my mind to do if I want a different outcome. So if I see an unflattering picture of myself, instead of staying in the loop of you look terrible and you're never going to be beautiful, because, I mean, there's a lot of experiences I can point to in my life where one of them being my divorce, where I struggle with, and I'm not throwing this out to try to get a compliment. Please don't compliment me on this, because this is probably pride in some way, shape, or form. But since my divorce, I don't ever feel like anybody would ever find me attractive again because of some of the things that happened. And so I think where I have had to kind of retrain my mind to go is, if I don't like something, how I'm perceived, how my life is turning out, and my body image, then I can either wallow in that or I can work on it. And so for me, it's been healthy to kind of think about that process, because there were many years in my life after that first incident that I wallowed in it. And I'm an emotional eater. So what happened? I gained more weight because of that, because I processed emotions through food. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways, but I think that for me, those were the formative two things that I had to kind of say, all right, this is what it is. I can't change the picture because it's been taken, but I can change what I want to work on and then set some healthy goals in pursuit of that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
Okay.
You know, I think it's interesting, too, because I'm just reflecting on my situation and, you know, the double chin. And even when I have lost weight and I still have a double chin. That's the way God made me.
Right.
God made me with lots of chins, and it's fantastic. I got extra. And so for me, working on it has always actually made it more painful for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So for me, I mean, I've worked on it at different times. But when I have found myself working on it, I also found myself stewing on it and thinking about it constantly and
obsessing
about it and seeing change, but not seeing the double chin ever go away. Because even when I, you know, was super skinny, I had a double chin. That's the way I am.
Yeah.
And if that's the measure for me, the double chin, because James said that's the measure of me, then, and it never goes away, then all I'm going to do is just feed my own insecurities about it.
Sure.
So one of the things I found that has helped me the most is, first of all, ignoring it, which is maybe not the best recommendation, but, you know, ignoring it, but ignoring it in a way that I also go, okay, it is not about the outside shell of me.
Right.
It is really truly about the inside of me. And that's what matters. And God loves me. And I have my confidence in that instead of having my confidence in how good I look in a bathing suit.
Right. Right.
Or whether or not I have a double chin or not.
Right.
James. like to get his number. Right. I want to say that there's two different things that I think we're sort of talking about. One is your body.
Yeah.
And the other is your body image. Because those two things are not exactly the same.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And somebody can say this person is healthy and this person looks good and they're within the BMI parameters of health, and that person can still feel like they don't look good and they are grotesque in some way.
Yeah.
And that is important because your body image can be completely disconnected from what your body actually is.
Right.
And I will say this, I won't go deeply into this, but I had eating disorders. Mm-hmm. You guys have heard that before, but I had anorexia when I was in college. I weighed at 1.87 pounds.
Wow.
And I thought I was looking great because there was a space in between my thighs. And I would come home from a party or something, and I would feel bad about maybe what I'd eaten, and I would run the stairs. This is like 11:45, 12 o'clock at night. And I'd be running the stairs, and then I'd go check to make sure that there was still a gap between my thighs. So I was very sick. And then it moved into more of a bulimia phase, which is binging and purging. And that was truly painful. And I felt very much out of control at that time. Now, I received counseling, and I went to a prayer service, and I was healed from this eating disorder. And I will tell you the truth, the absolute truth is, I don't think about it anymore. God healed me completely from it. But I lived that. I know how painful that is. And you could have told me 1,000 times that I looked too thin, but I thought I looked too fat. Like I'm 90 pounds instead of 87. It was just, it's wrong thinking. So having someone to help you separate the difference between your body and your body image, someone who is healthy themselves is needed. It's vital. And if you're struggling with that, even if you're on the continuum of that, get some Christian counseling, get some support, get some help.
Yeah.
I will say this also. I think I've learned this at this stage in my life. And I don't know exactly why, because I don't think about it near as much as I used to in high school. I am at a weight that I'm comfortable with. And I used to think if I was
such and such a size. If I was thinner, I'm going to be happier. Mm-hmm. And I had just, I said, when you get thinner, when you mm-hmm. lose the weight, you're going to feel beautiful.
Yeah.
You're going to feel attractive. And I will tell you, being thinner is not the whole answer to that.
Right. Right. Because you still felt the same, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what we, or what you were, you're kind of needling at with the difference between body and body image. Because like, I'm a Weight Watchers for life. I mean, I've done them all.
I like Weight Watchers. I think it's too. Very good.
But I will go back to those situations when I did lose weight, but the problem's still there.
Yeah.
And that's because it's not the weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Because it's not about the body.
Right.
Even. Like you said, it's mm-hmm. about, it's what mind games we're playing in
right.
our own head.
Yeah.
Sometimes from those formative yes. experiences
right.
that we had.
Okay. So how do we find healing in these situations? How do we take what either has happened to us or what we've struggled with and kind of turn the corner on that with those experiences and with those?
I think one of the biggest pieces of that is trying to see yourself the way God sees mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
Instead of the way the world sees you.
Yeah.
I just imagine Jesus coming down and just putting his arms around this person who struggles with extra weight, this person who struggles with too much weight, this person who's throwing up because they feel like they're unloved. And he just wraps his arms around them and loves them because he sees us as beautiful when we are his children.
Yeah.
And we don't have to look a certain way for him. He sees our hearts. Mm-hmm. I do think that God cares about our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us bodies. Mm-hmm. And we're image bearers of him. God cares about your body. Jesus healed people. He healed their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be healthy. I believe that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
agreed.
It's not a you're good and you're not good
right.
appearance base.
Right.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we talk a lot about is, especially when we're thinking about pregnancy care centers, we talk about how God formed us in our mother's womb knows us intimately and created us to be, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That Psalm, the scripture from Psalms 139. But we also have to remember that as adults.
Yeah.
That this is the way God created us.
Yeah.
And yes, he does care about our bodies. He wants us to use them in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to use us in ministry as long as he can possibly use us. And when we are unhealthy, we're undermining that in whatever way it is.
Yeah.
It's not a weight related thing. It's a health related thing. If we are unhealthy, we are limiting our ministry for him and the number of years we have in order to serve him. But we were created this way in the womb.
'Cause that can be mental as well. I mean,
absolutely.
If we don't keep up with our mental health. I mean, you can look at this all different sorts of angles.
Yep.
You're right. It's not just the number on a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, sadly, we went through, I think, probably the 80s is when I saw it show up the most. 80s and 90s when we saw it show up the most, that was your value. Whatever that number was, that told you where you fell on the value continuum, you know. And that alone.
Right.
Was the spokesperson for how valuable you are, which is not true.
Right. That's right. First Samuel says that God looks at the heart.
Yes.
God does not look at us the way man looks at us.
Right.
Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.
Yep.
And that's what we really need to cultivate.
And here's the thing. I want, because I think the temptation when you hear something like that is to say that is a Sunday school answer that is not really all that practical. But can I say that if you don't believe that about yourself, then the problem is unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know that, I mean, we all have known people who cherry pick scripture and they only believe the parts they want to believe. Well, if you deny that you are A, made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, I think it is, and B, that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, if you deny those two things, then it's a spiritual checkup. And which we go back to the fact that when you lose the weight, the problem's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is because we didn't get that central piece, that foundational piece of saying, okay, I'm made in the image of God. He has a plan and purpose for me. I was knit together in my mother's womb. He looks at the heart when man looks at the outward appearance. All those things, like, do you think possibly we could be off in our theology as women sometimes mm-hmm. when we don't see ourselves that way?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think another piece of that, it goes along with that. And I'll just be honest. When I am at my least healthy mentally, thinking about myself, insecure, body image off the rails, then I really start to look at other people and what they look like. Mm. And I start to make judgments on them.
Sure.
Oh, look how she looks today, or look how he looks today, or look how they look today. And I'm looking at their bodies and making judgments on them. And I am sorry. That is a horrible, horrible thing to do. I'm just being flat out honest with you. Mm-hmm. When I'm feeling insecure and unhealthy, I start to judge other people. And I think one of the ways we can move toward healthy body images is to stop looking around at other people. Stop comparing my body to your body. Stop looking at somebody else and thinking, oh, they do a lot of exercise, whatever. Let's stop looking at each other. Mm-hmm. Because when we stop judging other people, it helps us to stop judging ourselves negatively and gets us out of that unhealthy mind frame. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one who does that?
No,
100%.
No, yeah.
I am in that same camp.
And you know how I discovered it, Tricia?
How?
Because I kept saying things in front of my teenage daughter.
Oh,
and she came up one day and she was like, gosh, look at it. She put on her cheerleading uniform. She goes, I'm so fat. And I'm like, no, you're not. Yeah. And she just kind of looked at me in that sassy way that she does. And she goes, neither are you. And you say it all the time. Mm. And I was like, ugh. Mm. You know, because what we say in front of our kids tells them what we believe.
Good for her. I want to give her a great big hug.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to paint your head off. But for that day, I was really grateful because it was. She was holding me accountable to say,
yes.
Hey, Mom, this thing that you say you believe, uh-huh. you're not living that out right here in this situation. And she will still, if I'd make some comment, my thing is now being old. I'll be like, I'm so old. She goes, no, you're not. You know, we'll kid about that now. But then.
Yeah.
I really had to do some soul searching and go back and say, oh, gosh, I need to repent and I need to apologize to you for saying I believed I was created in the image of God and saying those things about myself, you know.
Yep.
Because and that's another thing, too. We say things about ourselves we would never say to anybody else.
Never.
And we say them in our head and they get stuck on that loop and it just is, it can be detrimental, not only with our body image, but with our mental condition, because you go down those rabbit trails and then you get depressed. And then if you're like me, you eat or you are addicted to something and you try to fill that with shopping or food or a drug or alcohol, a glass of wine and then a bottle. You know, all those things are so related to what we say we believe.
And one of the things that you just said that I kind of got stuck on, too, is how important it is to have people around you who will affirm you and also hold you accountable to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that your daughter was willing to say to you, stop it. And mama, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's what we all need. We all need girlfriends around us or family people around us who we can say, you know what? If we say something, that they can call us on it and they can redirect us.
Yes.
And say, it is not about your double chin, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
It is about, are you living for Christ? What does the inside of you look like? And you are beautiful just the way God made you.
Yeah.
But to have that in our lives is so important.
And why do you think we shy away from that? I think you hit at it a while ago.
Shy away from which piece? Having
from having community that will hold us accountable.
Oh, because then we have to be vulnerable with
people. We have to be vulnerable and our tendency to compare.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I mean, can I just say, there was this lady that used to work at the Weight Watchers I went to, and she was larger than me and would fuss at me when I'd gained weight. And it always used to, like, make me aggravated because I was like, bah! You know, number one, you take your earrings off, you know, you bite your fingernails before weigh-in, you know, you do all the things to get your weight down. But I started judging because I didn't like where I was at, and I started with the judgment. So I think there's something there that God is kind of saying,
Well, and it's a tactic of the enemy.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
See how he uses it through magazines and how, you know, the people they put on the front of magazines are not real people, by the way. They are airbrushed versions of some people. They're photoshopped versions. They're the one, they take away the double chin and
body makeup and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. They have all
absolutely.
Kinds of tricks and stuff that they're doing. It doesn't make them real. You'll never look like those people. But that's the message they keep trying to send is, yeah, look like this. This is what's awesome. This is what the world values. Look like this.
Well, it's so funny, too, because if you sometimes I've had conversations with men about this. And, you know, the modeling industry puts somebody that's supposed to be the most attractive person about as big as my finger. Mm. And then most guys I talk to are like, I really love when a woman has a little more curves and things like right. that. Like, who are we right. trying to impress? Because right. if it's for them, that's not impressive for them. If it's for us, we'll never right. figure it out. It has to be for God.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. And none of us are, we're not all made exactly the same.
Yeah. yeah.
Just different. There is no standard. There no. is no body standard that you that we have to live up to. We have to live up to the way God made us. Mm-hmm. And so the good. Healthiest God the healthiest made us. Version. The healthiest yes. version of the way yes. God made us. And making those right choices for us are going to be different than the right choices for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that comes, I think that comes through prayer. I yeah. mean, I really do. I think God will show you mm. how to take these steps forward, mm-hmm. tell you what to do, give you the strength that you need. And maybe it is more exercise. Maybe it's less exercise. Maybe it's figuring out a good way to eat that makes you feel good. God will help you. He gives mm. wisdom. Even in these things, we think, well, I can only ask him about where I need to go to college or who I need to marry. But no, little things like, how should I approach this lunch? Mm-hmm. You pray, God will answer that prayer. He's mm-hmm. done it for me, and I know he'll do it for you.
Yeah. And some of us, me, so I won't say some of us, me, I needed to go before the Lord and to repent mm-hmm. because of the way that I saw myself mm-hmm. and because of the people that I allowed to tell me who I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for some of us, that needs to be the first step, that we go and say, Lord, I let whoever, whatever their names were, dethrone you. And I put them mm-hmm. on the throne of my life. Mm-hmm. And I let them tell me who I was and what my value was. And I'm sorry. Yeah. And so I just went through a really exercise, I guess, for myself, writing down all of those formative experiences and apologizing to God because I had mm-hmm. made those people my God. Mm-hmm. I had made them my standard. I had made what they said more important than what God said. And so for me, it started with repentance. Mm. And it was almost as if, now I'm not saying I don't still struggle because I've told y'all, we went to Ghana back in October. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but you see a picture of yourself and you're like, wow, I didn't realize I was that size. Mm. Like, and I saw that. And so I started really being more conscious about my eating choices. But it's never been about the weight per se. That's just what people know to ask you about. You uh-huh, know, uh-huh. I've never had anybody ask me, so what's your BMI? Other than my doctor. And I wish they wouldn't ask, you know. But nobody's ever asked that. The only measure that we know how to measure things with is weight, uh-huh. which is a very poor measure. But I've known yeah. very skinny people who are very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And yeah. so I think that's all people know how to ask. Mm. But that's got to stop being the measure. But I say all that to say it started with me with repentance and going through those experiences and saying, I'm sorry, because for this time in my life, I made that person my God, and I'm sorry. And I'm not saying I still don't struggle with it at times, because I think it's a daily thing, mm-hmm. a death to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's where it started mm-hmm. for me.
And yeah. hand in hand with that, because I think back of the people that have fed into my poor body image, and I think back about the person who showed your picture and James. Mm-hmm. I think also forgiving them,
mm-hmm.
forgiving them oh, for speaking yeah, for sure. those lies in our minds. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. important. And also, I think when I say something awful about the way I look, weight or anything else, I wonder if God's up there going, you're insulting my daughter,
mm.
my daughter that I love and cherish. Yeah. He's a loving father. And as any parent would do, you do not want someone insulting your child.
Think about this. When they bring home that scribble from preschool, what do you do with it?
Oh, frame you hang it on the refrigerator.
Hang it on the refrigerator, you frame
yeah, it's
it.
In the book.
You mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would never say, "Well, tell me about this. What, you know, oh, I love the colors of it. And it's a masterpiece to you."
Mm-hmm.
That's how God sees you and me.
Yeah.
You know, when our lives look like a scribble, and trust me, Most of the time, my life looks like a scribble. But he sees a masterpiece that he's creating through you, through me, through all of us who call ourselves his daughters. And so if we can think about that when we start, we're so tempted. That's I think that's a way that the enemy kind of gets in our heads and uses those things against us.
You know what we need to do?
What's that?
I'll be a little radical here, but
okay.
We need to alone.
That's usually my job.
Yeah. Alone, not in groups. Yeah. But you need to go and stand in front of a mirror completely naked. And you need to talk to yourself the way God would talk to you. You need to talk to yourself and tell yourself that you are beautiful, that you are loved, that you are created on purpose, that you are precious, and that you are a daughter. And say it until you believe it. The first time you talk to yourself like that, you will not believe it. But keep going at it. Keep saying you are created in the image of God. And keep saying the positive things that God would say to you about how much he loves you and how much he created you and how he has a purpose and a plan for you and that he sees you as beautiful. Say it to yourself over and over and over again until you believe it.
I might do that wearing my undies.
but I'll try it.
Okay. That's why I said do it alone and not in groups. This is not a group exercise.
Yeah. I mean, good stuff. I think we hopefully gave you some things to think about, some questions to ask yourself, some steps forward. Maybe it starts with repentance. Maybe it starts with forgiveness. But I want you to for sure look into the mirror and know that you are created in the image of God and that you are loved. And God has a plan and a purpose for you. If you got questions or you need something from us, you're always welcome to email us, girltalk@thelightfm.org. If Girl Talk has been influential in your life, if it's made a difference, if you like the show, there's one simple way that you can help us reach other people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and review this podcast. Now, what that does is it makes sure that the Girl Talk podcast gets in front of more ears. And that is just a simple way that you can be a part of what God is doing through the Girl Talk podcast. So wherever you get your podcast, rate it, review it, be kind.
And tell your friends.
I just believe that this Girl Talk community could be something that God really uses in a major way. He already has. We've seen him do it. And we want to see him do it more because the whole point of the Girl Talk podcast is to know Christ more and to make him known. That is our goal. And we'll see you next time we gather around these microphones for the next Girl Talk podcast.